From Old Town Puente, I'm Chris Greenspan. It's the return of SGV Weekly.
They say the nice ones finish last.
That's Jackie Mendez and her song, Backburner.
You know, these days it's so like common for people to just want the full package, but not the title.
I try to say how I'm feeling. You tell me.
Backburner is about self-respect and not letting people treat you like an option.
Now I'm putting you on the back burner. Like, the tables have turned. I'm not just waiting anymore. I'm not going to put up with it.
So don't you put me on the back. The back burner.
Now that we're off the back burner, let's get down to our roots with her legendary backyard band, The Boss Beats.
As far as ska music and the SGV, I mean, there wasn't a lot, so I think we had that edge for sure.
It's SGV Weekly Season 2 with Jackie Mendez and The Boss Beats, coming right up after this. Here's your local news. SGV City Watch reports there's a search for a 14-year-old Guatemalan girl missing in Laverne. Heidi Jalisa Kachok never made it home to her foster family after leaving Bonita High on Monday. Her parents in Guatemala want her returned home. If you have info that can help, Laverne police are investigating her disappearance. The Tribune reports Almonte is changing from at-large elections to by-district elections following state law. This means a council member just needs to win the district they're running in, but the mayor still has to win across the city. The change was voted in by city council 3-2, and it'll create two new council seats. Four districts are up for election this year, the other two in 2024. The man shot and killed by Covina police on Arrow last Saturday was 24-year-old David Valdivia, according to City News Service. Valdivia was apparently unarmed. The Department of Justice is investigating. NBC4 reported that it happened outside of a liquor store, and CBS2 interviewed a man who said he heard 5-7 shots fired before he saw cops try to give Valdivia CPR and handcuff another man. The Tribune reports Claremont residents are taking action with street racing and traffic-related deaths on the rise. The Claremont Safe Streets Coalition is looking at demanding more street signs and police presence from the city. Claremont officials told the Tribune they're aware, and they're working on it for the next city budget. And the Renaissance Pleasure Fair returneth to Irwindale. Theater nerds, cider drinkers, and small children are all gladder than the bird when the day begins to dawn. Okay, no more talking like that. The Tribune reports if you want to see all the queens, pirates, and Gandalfs, eat a turkey leg or something, you'll have to wait in a car line first to get into the Santa Fe Dam, and then pay $38 per adult. The fair will be around until May 22nd. And that's some of this week's news around the 626. After the break, it's Jackie Mendez's rise from band kid to ska star.
Support for SGV Weekly comes from
Dr. Rubin's Pomade, made in Alhambra with a secret recipe since World War II that nourishes your hair with natural ingredients. It comes in flavors like melon, chocolate, and cherry, but please don't eat it. Try their lip balm instead. It lasts for hours. Get yours at drrubenspomade.com and use promo code SGVWeekly at checkout for 15% off. That's drrubenspomade.com.
South El Monte Arts Posse.
Isn't it time El Monte got a new city logo? I mean, how many covered wagons do you see driving down Valley Boulevard? Well, South El Monte Arts Posse is working on that. They want to know what you want to see on a new Monte seal. Radical Histories, the Tongva, the Water Tower. Take the survey on their Insta at SEM Arts Posse, and graphic artist Daniel Gonzalez will make a new logo only for the people of Monte who identify with the city's radical past. The unveiling will be at the LA Central Library's Something in Common exhibit on May 7th. That survey is at SEM Arts Posse on Instagram.
And John Raby, the world's tallest man. Now back to the show.
I'm Chris Greenspan. This is Season 2 of SGV Weekly. After a year-long hiatus, We're back, under very similar circumstances. Last season opened with punk rock as rite of passage in the SGV, and a song filled with the passion and the courage to start something new. This time, music brings us back from the brink again, and reminds us that if we never give up, we'll become stars at our own pace. Like Jackie Mendez from South El Monte. She's become a heavy hitter in the ska world over the last dozen or so years, blending together all the genres that people in the subculture love. Her sound is kind of like
soulful reggae. Like one of my friends said, soul steady.
And the seeds of that sound were planted in the 90s, deep in the discount bins of California Records and warehouse music.
I lived literally all over the SGV. So this is when I lived in Azusa. So I would go there and they had like a used CD section. So that was where we would go because it was like $2, $3, $4 for CDs. It was gold, man. I found like a lot of dope albums like that.
Yeah, what scores do you remember getting?
I remember getting like Suicide Machines, Dance Hall Crashers, Real Big Fish, The Offspring's like first album. Like I didn't even know the album. I'm like, oh, it's The Offspring. Okay. Like, and I just grabbed it.
That stuff was huge back then. But did any kid really know it as ska? Or just
40 minutes nonstop K-Rock.
New music now.
I really didn't know what ska meant until I was like in middle school. That was like the first time I heard that word. I'm like, what? And you get curious, like, oh, who influenced them? I want to check them out. I hear them talk about Madness, The Specials, like Fishbone. And
from there, she found her way back to the 60s Jamaican music. But oldies and soul were already part of everyday life.
You know, K-Earth 101 back in the day, it was so sick.
Real Don Steele.
Right, baby.
K-Earth 101.
Good afternoon. How do you do?
So I remember being young and just hearing that style of music. And I feel like an old soul. I always just loved the sound of it. And just growing up in the SGV, man, I mean, you can't help but hear it everywhere. You meet people, you grow up with different people, different walks of life. I had cousins that were into oldies.
You add all of that up, and Jackie Mendez has a lifelong commitment to music, specifically ska. We'll look at the reasons why, including immigration and opportunities that weren't available in South El Monte. But first, let's start with her family history.
So my dad and my mom, they're from Mexico. My mom, I think she moved here first. She lived in TJ for a while. And then I've asked too, because a lot of people would go to like East LA or LA, because I'm right there, you know? And I did have family there, but I guess they just kind of went a little more this way. And my mom was there like in the 60s, I think. She was about 8 years old. And then my dad, more in the 70s, he was like already a teen when he came. So he had it a little more rough. So he ended up in El Monte too. So they met through the church. So, you know, growing up with like a strict household, my mom was pretty much only allowed to do like church things to get out of the house and have fun, like for real. So their thing was, oh, let's join the choir. And that's how they kind of met, you know, other like young teens and made friends. So that's how my mom and dad met. My dad played the guitar and my mom sang, and a lot of my aunts were in it too. So they started, I think, at Epiphany Church in South El Monte. It's still there.
Eventually, her family split up and moved to different parts of the valley. But young Jackie had different ideas.
My grandparents and all that, they lived in South El Monte forever. And then they literally just, like, moved up the street. Because they wanted it's like a family-owned property duplex, but my uncle wanted his own thing. So one day I was, like, skateboarding around and I had a friend up the street. And I remember thinking, man, I don't want to like leave from here. You know, I grew up here and my school's here. I got my friends, you know, like being like young, you're like, dude, what if they find something like far and I have to leave? So I remember just like looking around and seeing if anything was for sale. I kind of took it upon myself and I was skating up the street and I saw like a pretty, you know, big house for sale. And I told my uncle about it, and I did not think in a million years like that would be the house that they would move into, but it was weird. And I was totally like, it was like my little master plan, like, I don't want to leave from here, so let me see if I could find something, you know.
Her dad always kept instruments in that house, By middle school, Jackie picked up guitar and joined the school band. Her mom had her learn clarinet, but her grades weren't cutting it in high school, so she took her out and put her in Northview for a year.
I thought she was bluffing, and then she's like, nah, you're fucking going over here. So yeah, and she ended up changing me schools, dude. It really sucked. I mean, especially when you're in high school, like, but I ended up making a bunch of friends because I joined band. I pretty much just bullshitted and said, like, oh, I play drums because I wanted to be in the drum line. Because the thing about South El Monte High School, they didn't do a field show and stuff like that. And Northview did. So I was like, oh, dang, that's dope. I've never done field show. But, you know, since I was a beginner, they just like put me in the pit area, like where all the percussion instruments are. But that was kind of cool.
That's also where she found bandmates to play the songs she was writing in her little black and white Mead notebooks.
Do you remember what you were writing about? Or do you remember even any of the lyrics?
Oh, God, I don't even know. Just, you know, stupid little kid shit. Like, like, you think it's, like, life so hard, and it's not at all. I don't know, just, you know, feelings and things you're thinking. I think stuff like that. I always used it, like, as an outlet to just vent instead of, you know, talking to someone. Kind of like a, you know, like a diary or something, and it kind of started like that.
Do you think even then you wanted to be a front person, front woman?
I knew, like, early on I loved singing, and I remember just thinking, like, what do I want to do? Like, what type of music? I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. It's like, I was so young that it's like whatever was on the radio, cool, you know, like as a kid. But when I started actually wanting to, like, do it, I was really into playing, mostly just like guitar, because I was really shy too. I didn't really like being on the spot, believe it or not. I didn't like, you know, the attention. So guitar, like playing an instrument, was like the perfect way to just, you know, play music without stage fright.
And you want to know what her first band's name was?
We were called the Super Nethings.
I couldn't find them online. I don't think they lasted that long. What came next, though, would scratch her name permanently into the concrete of SGV backyard gig history. But first, she had to babysit her cousin Natalie.
I guess I would watch her, even though we were, like, not even that far apart in age. But at the time, she felt like, it felt like she was way younger than me, you know, she was little. And I got so stoked when she asked, hey, could my friends come over and jam? And she told me that she was starting a band, and I remember being so freaking excited for her and stoked, like, hell yeah, like, yeah, tell them to come over. They could you guys could practice anytime. Like, I totally encouraged it, you know. So I remember, you know, one day they were like practicing, and they had like a couple practices acoustic, and they would just do, I would let them do their thing, and, you know, it was Zubin, I remember Ivan, Alan, and her. And I think Dylan, and then they had another guy, but they were starting the band. And she's like, oh man, we're trying to think of a band name, and I don't know. And I don't know why it came to my head. I'm all, what about the Boss Beats? And she's like, yeah. And then showed it to them. And at first they were kind of like, no, we want this. I don't even remember what the other options were, to be honest. And so, yeah, they started, and I got this mini Korg keyboard from Guitar Center, the micro Korg. And I was just jamming on it, and they had a little organ setting. They saw me playing it, and I remember Alan's like, hey, you want to jam with us? I'm all, me? And I kind of felt like, I don't want to intrude, you know? This is like my cousin's thing. Like, I don't be that person. But they were like, no, jam with us. And so we started playing, and on the spot, like, I played a chord, and we just wrote a song. And we started jamming, and then Alan's like, you should play keyboard for us. I'm all, dude, I am not a keyboard player. I'm just messing around. He's all, no, you know what you're doing. Like, come on, like, jam with us. Be in the band. I'm all, really? And Natalie's like, oh, my God, yeah, be in the band. And I'm like, all right. So I joined, and I was a keyboard player. And Ivan got a gig at, I still remember this, at a coffee shop that he worked at, I think. I could be wrong about that, too. But that was the first show. And I'm like, let's do it. Let's plug in. We were in my living room, and we practiced. We had, like, maybe two originals, and then we kind of just instrumentals, whatever the guys came up with. They had their own songs, too. And then the first show came, and the freaking keyboard somehow got lost. We still don't know what happened with that keyboard. And they're like, oh, why don't you just sing? right? So it ended up being me and Natalie as the lead singers, and I started throwing in the harmonies, and I think that took it to the next level, because that wasn't really around other than like Dance Hall Crashers, but they were more like older, they were already out there. We were a local band.
The Boss Beats weren't known for strictly playing ska or reggae shows. More often than not, they were the only band like that on the bill, and even then they were unique, opening a set with a Bauhaus song, closing it with Devo. Jackie calls it experimental ska.
You know what? I think because everybody had their influences and style of playing, which I thought was dope, and I think that's what made our sound come to life. Like, we had, you know, Ivan, that was at the time, you know, rockabilly surf style guitar, and then you have like Zubin that's like playing punky style, but also, you know, he's also into like the reggae stuff, so they were all getting into the reggae and ska, but they still had that background, you know, of playing different genres. So I think that's what kind of gave us a different sound. It wasn't super traditional, even though that's kind of what I was trying to go for, because I was getting into that style. But I think I enjoyed what it became because I thought it was cool and it was different and it made us stand out. Like, we didn't sound like every other band, for sure.
In the late 2000s, the Boss Beats were known for being the band to get people dancing in backyards across the valley.
When we played in El Monte, that was sick. I think for me, it meant a lot because it was El Monte and that's where I'm from. And they really showed up, man. I mean, it was cracking. Like, there's so many people handing me like beers and everybody was just so like pumped. I remember seeing a bunch of chicks in the front. Everyone's just like on a good one, you know? And they're just so pumped. And I think because they saw like us girls just like getting down, and it was just such a dope feeling to like see, have that female energy, like kind of feeding off of each other. And there was like a wooden fence, like dividing one yard to the other yard. And it was so wild, dude. I remember that whole fence got knocked down and then the show got stopped.
By the way, that was actually three different gigs she was talking about, and the sound was from the Sunset Room in Hacienda Heights. Anyway, of course, all backyard bands must come to an end, and all solo artists have to start sometime.
So at that point that, let's say, the Boss Beats are towards the end, or they've already broken up, how into Rocksteady were you already at that point?
Oh, I was like heavy into it. Even like in the beginning of joining the band, anything Trojan Records, Studio One, I was already into it. And by the time that we broke up, like I said, we were experimental. I felt like it was, you know, the sound was changing up a little bit. We were kind of straying a little more away from the ska style, which I'm going to be honest, that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to play it still. I didn't want to change what we were doing. But like I said, everybody had their thing and what they wanted to do. And people, you know, change and evolve musically. You know, you play a certain style for so long, you want to go and do something else because you're getting into different shit. But for me, I was like, no, I want to do reggae. I want to keep doing ska. And I think that it kind of gave me that opportunity. Like, you know what? I want to do that style. Like, that's what I'm going to do next.
Now let's look at the reasons why Jackie is so connected to this music. It all ties back to history. So first, let's listen to the rhythm.
They took it from Motown soul because a lot of the music that they recorded are covers, soul covers. But I think it was like a glitch in the radio, from what I know, that made the tempo of soul sound a certain way. And when they were trying to like imitate that sound, they just added like the offbeat.
I've got the feeling that you
her, that rhythm gives it the emotion of mostly feel-good music, but the style and attitude of the subculture is about standing up for yourself, and she looks up to the early Skins and Roods who emigrated to England.
So one that stands out to me is Roy Ellis, aka he had a band Simmerip. He's kind of like the OG skinhead god, other than like Laurel Aiken, all that. But I think his story stood out to me because he went out there, and you know, there's always been, unfortunately, the racism factor. He said it was super tough for him that before he got into music, he was a boxer. So he learned to box to defend himself because he would get like cornered and picked on, you know, because of the color of his skin. And they were like the first ones to go out there. So it was all new to them. And also Desmond Dekker, how he just exploded there. I think most of these people came from like, you know, like poorer towns, and then they took a chance, you know, and took that music over there. And I think it's so like beautiful that they took that chance.
And in a way, that's really close to what her parents went through in Monte in the 60s and 70s with racial strife and the rise of gangs.
Oh my God. I mean, my mom has so many stories, dude, where it's so unfortunate because you have like Latinos, you know, like Chicanos, for example, being prejudiced towards them. And I'm not saying all of the people that were in gangs were like that, but it was pretty racist, man. I mean, they would call them like all the derogatory stuff you can think of just because they didn't know English and they weren't from here. They got discriminated so bad. Like, I mean, my mom would get jumped all the time, my dad. And it's inspiring for me. And I think what like makes me like who I am now, like to be tough and stick up for yourself, is because I hear their stories and how they struggled.
There are no overt messages about inequality, but songs like Red Flag and Backburner reflect that toughness her parents taught her. Now, after sticking to her guns as a ska songwriter, what she's doing has taken her far from South El Monte and back again.
You know, it's easy when you're growing up to kind of be in that box. Like, for example, like I grew up in the SGV, so that's all I know, like the backyards and the people around me and the bands that you know. And once you travel, you realize we're not the only ones that love this music or are doing it. There's people around the world that have the same passion for the music that you do. And I think that's what's beautiful about it. After traveling, I've met so many people. It's like wild for me to say, oh, my homie from Australia or Melbourne, or oh, my friend from Mexico City. Like, you make connections with these people. And it's not just about, oh, like they book me shows and they hook me up. It's like, we know that this music isn't mainstream. We know that the money's not there, you know, like, let's be real. But that's not what it's about. We just have that passion. And that's what drives us to keep doing it. And when you meet other people that like kind of relate and, you know, have the same love for it, it just, it's that much better. And it just, you know, I think that's how it changed me, is just realizing, man, there's a whole world out there of people that love this shit too. Like, from my experience, because you could literally go to Germany and they have festivals dedicated to this music, which that doesn't happen here, really. I mean, we've had like pretty killer lineups and shows that happen in LA from promoters that I know. But, you know, you go around the world and you realize it's like so much bigger than you think. It's not just here.
The third act of our story is about to end, but for Jackie, it's about to start. She's been going at her own pace for a dozen years, making ends meet, and still very much a 626 local. But that's where her authentic ska comes from. They're songs we can hear ourselves in. And now, after so much slow cooking, she's finally putting more releases out.
It wasn't intentional. It's just kind of how it happened. Like, it's like I released this EP and they're like, all right, let's play some shows. Let's tour, which was great. I mean, I got to travel places I've never even been. I got to fly on a plane for the first time, you know, in my 20s. Like, most people were like, what, you never been on a plane? No, never. So I think that's what it was, just getting caught up with performing, touring. And before you know it, I'm like, dude, I haven't released anything in a while. Like, I want to put something else out. And I think now the reason why you see me doing kind of more back to back is because I'm pretty much doing my own thing, man. I mean, I'm not on any contracts. I'm pretty independent. I do have certain deals with Solar Records. I still am recording with them. So that's a cool thing to have, is to be able to work with different people. That freedom, that creative freedom. I think now you see more because I'm kind of taking it in my own hands and just kind of going apeshit with releasing music, because I literally have so many songs I've written throughout the years that I have not yet gotten to record, and that is what I'm doing right now. Is my next step is a full length and really just getting that catalog going.
Jackie Mendez is an independent ska artist from South El Monte, with records on Blackbird, Sola, and Angel City. Expect to see her on stages this year with Ska and Oldies Greats, but hopefully on a dusty patio too, somewhere in the San Gabriel Valley.
Now nothing's left over.
Sorry, I went blank right now.
I'm walking away, I think.
Now I'm walking away. My mind is made up. Now I got something new. Gonna get over you. It's time I let you go. No more hanging around. I'm putting you down. So now it's you who plays the fool. So don't you put me on the back burner. So now I'll put you on the back burner. Ooh.
Oh my God, I'm sorry, I went blank. I was like, wait, where was I? I'm terrible. That honestly, that's happened to me before. The other time they asked me to do a cappella. But yeah, that's it.
All right, that's everything.
Sorry. Oh my God, embarrassing. I'll put the good part only.
Oh yeah, I'll edit it.
Thanks for tuning in to season 2 of SGV Weekly. This season, we have episodes on Pocho comedy, record store philosophy, the Queen of Alhambra, a Mount Sac legend, and your favorite San Gabriel Valley podcast host, me. So make sure to follow, subscribe, rate, review on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher, and tell me what stories you want to hear. Our theme song is Carry Home by The Gun Club, courtesy of Manifesto Records. Ambient music by Kevin Greenspan. Our logo was designed and remastered by Felipe Flores and Rita Greenspan. Special audio thanks to Ryan Pacheco. I'm Chris Greenspan. This is SGV Weekly. And so many tears.